a new lease on life. And if I could grab your intelligent attention very quickly, I'd like to speak to you from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God. All of the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that this was he who said, begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." A new lease. A new lease on life. Today, as I've just said, I would like to talk to you from this series. We've birthed a new series, A New Lease on Life. If you have ever been sick to the point that you thought you were not going to make it through, and God somehow miraculously healed you, then you can appreciate the title of this sermon series. If you have ever been a victim of severe depression, to the point that you couldn't get yourself out of bed some mornings, and tried as you may have, you just couldn't seem to shake yourself out of it. If you've ever faced that type of depression, then you can appreciate this sermon series title. A couple of weeks ago, while I was reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter was saying that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And I told Miriam, I said, this is amazing. As I was reading that text, it was just blowing my mind. And I said, this is amazing, the love Jesus had for us all to step on the scene of our lives and literally call us out of darkness that we were too foolish to walk out of on our own. Not strong enough to walk out of on our own. And I was just blown away by his calling us out of the darkness, a darkness that we chose, a darkness that was overwhelming. And God just calls us out. And she said, you know, it's like having a new lease on life. And that's how this sermon series was birthed. What does it take? I've got a question. What does it take for us to become grateful? What does it take for us to become grateful? I mean, how is it that that an enemy who has never done anything for us other than try to kill us in one way or another get more honor and respect than the man who died for us. Lazarus was the perfect example of what gratitude looks like, because after Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead, anywhere you saw Jesus, you'd see Lazarus. I believe that Lazarus's mindset was that there was nothing worse than dying. There is nothing harder than dying. And anybody who can bring me back from the dead after 4 days of being dead, I'm not leaving his side. You know, as I was working on this morning, it hit me. Not only did he bring Lazarus back from the dead, whatever it was that killed Lazarus, Jesus healed that too. Oof. Had he not healed it too, it would have killed Lazarus again. We just get caught up in the fact that he brought him back from the dead, but we miss the fact, we miss the boat when it comes to the point that not only did he bring him back from the dead, he brought him back from the dead healed. And that ought to excite some of you that have been in the fight of your life, that not only is he going to bring you back, but he's bringing you back whole. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. None of us in here have been dead for 4 days. If you have, you need to write a book about it. None of us have been dead for 4 days, but we have been through some things, and God has brought you out. Yeah. Amen. Some of us have been through some horrible things, and God has brought you out. And as horrible, dark, messed up as some of the things that you've been through, none of them was as bad as dying. But just like Jesus brought Lazarus out from death, he can bring you out from any tribulation. Just as Lazarus couldn't bring himself out of the tomb, you couldn't bring yourself out of whatever hell it was that you was going through. But because God is sovereign, oh, Lord, have mercy. Just as he called Lazarus out from the death, he called you out too. Our text today is from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And I just want to go over those again because I believe it's so powerful. It says that now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of alms of those who entered the temple. It's a pretty good hustling spot, isn't it? Just, you know, right there at the temple. I mean, how you gonna be on the way to get the word and then tell the lame man no? And most definitely, how are you going to come out of the temple after you done went and got prayed up and you done got hands laid and you done had this experience with Jesus? Now, how are you going to get to the gate and forget about taking care of the orphans? Amen. It was a pretty good spot. It was better than the spot they got over here off the 113. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's a pretty good spot over there. But I'm talking about if they could just lay at the gate, at the beautiful gate, amen. That I'm pretty sure they would double what they made over on the 113, amen. Listen, I want you to catch this. Who seeing, he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple and ask for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with him, walking, leaping, and praising God. So Peter and John was walking up to this temple, and they're going to pray together at the ninth hour. And the ninth hour here that they're talking about is 3 p.m. This is based on the Jewish reckoning of time, where the day is divided into 12 hours, starting at sunrise, which is around 6 a.m. In fact, here's the breakdown. The Jewish time reckoning, the Jews divided the day by 12 hours beginning at sunrise. Third hour, approximately 9 a.m. Sixth hour, approximately 12 p.m., noon. And ninth hour, approximately 3 p.m. So here it is, 3 in the afternoon, and they are going to pray. And they run into a man that's been lame from his mother's womb, and his job is to lay there and beg for money. Beg for money every day. This is his job. I first want to note the importance of discipleship. I first want to talk about Peter and John being where they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be there. As disciples of Christ, it's important that you be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. It was prayer time, and the disciples were going to do what disciples do. They were headed to the house of the Lord. They get this, it was Sunday, but they weren't headed to the park. They weren't headed to the game. Huh? They wasn't headed to hang out with family or friends or staying home to get some chores done. No, they were right where they were supposed to be. And because they were where they were supposed to be, something, they was about to do something that only they could do. How many of you understand that sometimes you just need to be where you're supposed to be, whether you want to be there or not, because God might be petitioning you to do something great in the earth realm that's never been done before. See, it's kingdom responsibility. I'm going to go ahead and say this because some of you might not know it, but it's kingdom responsibility to be in church. That is, if you are a disciple of Christ. And I believe that if you don't show up at the house of God, you can't receive instruction. If you can't receive instruction, you can't be trusted with kingdom responsibility. Now, I know they got the YouTubes, and I know they got the lives, and I know they got all of that, but don't nothing trump being in the house of the Lord as the service is going forth. Amen? It might be more comfortable to sit at home in your pajamas and eat oatmeal and drink coffee and amen from the iPhone, but I'm telling you, there's something about being in the presence of the Lord. There's something about being assembled with other brothers and sisters of the way, of the faith. There's something about being in the house of the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And if you're not in the house, how do you get instruction? And if you don't get instruction, why should you be trusted with kingdom responsibility? The Bible says that the disciples were devoted. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. You understand what I'm saying to you? In other words, nothing else mattered. It was all about God. When did it come? When did it happen that it stopped? We still do church, but we don't do God. When did this happen? When did God stop being the most powerful entity in our lives, the most important entity in our lives? When did this happen that we stopped loving God with all of our heart, might, and soul, and strength? When did this happen? What Peter and John was about to handle was kingdom business. When was the last time that God entrusted you with kingdom business? Not that you just saw somebody going through something and you thought you'd go over and I'm going to just say a prayer with them. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when you walked through the Walmart, God said, that one right there, that's the one. I want you to tell them that this, that, and the other, and then I want you to lay hands on them, and I want you to pray with them right then and there, and they're gonna concede to whatever it is that you want to do, because just on the strength that you know what you're talking about, they know that you come from God. When is the last time that God has given you kingdom responsibility? How many of us got unsaved folk in our family? And God ain't gave us no responsibility. God ain't gave us a word. God ain't gave us a word for people that we love that are still out there lost. Do you know what? I want to tell you, God didn't just save you for you to be able to walk around here doing whatever you think is best for you. I'm so sick of people walking around here talking about I'm living my best life. You better be living your Christ life. You understand what I'm saying to you? When he didn't save you just for you to be able to walk around here with your nose up, dressing up on Sundays, walking in the building thinking you all that, secretly hating your life for real. No, he didn't save you for that. You understand what I'm saying to you? He didn't save you so that you could do what was best for you. I'm so sick of selfish Christians, I don't know what to do. No, he saved you because he loves you, but also he gave you employment. When he saved you, he gave you employment, and that employment was to go out and make disciples, to go out and spread the good news, to go out and tell everybody about this great somebody who did something for a nobody like you and me. They was where they were supposed to be. It was where they was supposed to be. How many times have you missed a service that you heard was off the hook? And you said something like, if I'd have been there, I might have got my miracle. No, don't. If I would have been there, be there. Be there. I tell you what, the only reason why we got this camera going on with this FaceTime live stuff is for our senior citizens that can't make it because they sick. If it wasn't for that, we'd cut this camera off. And if you wasn't here, you just missed it. You understand what I'm saying to you? We've got to get back to it being important. I remember you was getting ready. Anybody remember the days when you got ready for church on Saturday afternoon? Not Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. You had your clothes hung up. You had your socks ready, already in your shoes. All you had to do was get your bath or your shower, because back in the day we took baths. It wasn't just shower. I don't know what done happened. We don't take baths no more. But you took your bath, you took your shower, and you got out, and you didn't play. When it was time to get up for church, you got up for church. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if you could play outside yesterday, you're going to be in church today. If you felt all right yesterday, then you feel all right today. And if you don't feel all right, that's all right. Come to the house of the Lord. The Lord will heal you. Bless the Lord, somebody. They were where they were supposed to be. Lord, have mercy. Let's look at verses 3-7. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him and John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The man asked for money, but Peter says, "Look at us." And this is so powerful because we get to see Peter trusting what Jesus told them back in the day, back when he was walking with them, and him and the rest of the disciples would come to pass. If you remember in John 14:12, Jesus told him, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works, these he will do." Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me read that again. That was Jesus talking. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do." Here we see Peter on fire for God. He has not too many days ago preached a sermon that has won over 3,000 people to the kingdom, and he did it right in front of his enemies, and not only his enemies, but the enemies of Jesus. This is the same Peter that not too many moons ago, they said, "Wasn't you with Jesus?" And he said, No, it wasn't me. And then a second time came, and they said, and the woman said, "You look pretty familiar. Was you with Jesus?" And Peter said, No, that wasn't me. That was, you know, they say I look like somebody. And then the third time she asked, Peter just got all our Peter. That's what he got all. He got all Peter, and he said, "I told you it wasn't me. Don't me no more." This was Peter. Y'all better quit acting like y'all didn't know. Yeah, Peter had a moment. Not too many moons ago, he was so petrified that he denied Jesus three times, as Jesus told him that he would. You understand what I'm saying to you? Not only that, this is the same Peter who Jesus had to tell, "Get behind me, Satan." And he wasn't necessarily talking to Peter, but he was talking to the spirit that was on Peter. Because Peter was vulnerable to have that spirit on him. But now all of a sudden, Peter's on fire for God. He done said a sermon and check everybody in the room. You talking about we drunk, we ain't drunk. It ain't even the noonday yet. The liquor store ain't even open, Peter said. You come around here talking about we drunk. This is what the one that you crucified said was going to happen. And it was so powerful that 3,000 people came to the kingdom of God that day. Do you understand that Peter was handling his kingdom responsibility? And now, watch this, he's about to do something that Jesus told him he'd be able to do. He's on fire, and we get to see it. He says, "Look at us." He don't say it all weak and nervous. You want to look at us? He doesn't say it unsure. You look at us. You got a second? I ain't got no money. Can I have a moment of your time? Thank you so much. No, he don't say it like that. He says it like he knows that he's got something deep down on the inside of him. Look at us! And the man looks at him thinking that he done hit the jackpot. And he has. He has. Just not for what he was after. What do you do when you give up on being okay? Oh, Lord, have mercy. What do you do when you give up on things are going to be okay? Hold on. Peter's one of the most popular men in the city right about now. He just won 3,000 of them to the kingdom of God. He rode with Jesus. He just sliced off a man's ear. Jesus put the ear back on. If that didn't, nothing else, that made him popular. I mean, Jesus is one of the most popular people on the planet right now. And the man says he sees him. He knows that he's been with Jesus. He knows that Jesus did all of these things. And the only thing that he can come up with is say, "Can you give me some money? Hold on, I'm lame in my legs. I'm lame in my feet. I've not walked since I was born. And the only thing that I can come up to ask you for is some money." How many of you in here know what to ask for if Jesus steps on the scene of your life? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Surely we ain't all asking for the same thing. Surely we've got some personal things going on that we really could use him to come through and save the day. Amen? How many of you know what to ask for if he was to, "I just need a little money"? He thinks he's hit the jackpot. But the problem with the man is that he's thinking small. How many of you know that it's silly to think small when you're dealing with a big God? The man is looking for money. He's looking for a handout. But Peter is about to give the lame man a hand up, literally. And he grabs him by the hand and he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." You see Peter in fire. Operating with fire. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because I don't know about nobody else, but if it had been me and I'd have seen the lame man and I'd have said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I got in the name of Jesus, Lord, don't let this boy fall." Huh? Y'all? When's the last time you did a miracle? Huh? When's the last time you did a miracle? If John couldn't walk and I grabbed John and say, "Get on up here," I'm thinking, "Jesus, let him get up."
Hallelujah.
Because if he don't get up, these people are going to jump me. Yeah. They might not give him no money, but they don't think it's cool for you to put your hands on him. Listen. The Bible said that he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Here we see Peter operating in his kingdom authority. But here's what gets me. When we read in John 14 and 12, "Most assuredly I say to you,
He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. I got a question. I got a couple of questions as I'm coming to a close. Why aren't we seeing people be healed today? Why not? I don't think it's lack of faith. I don't think it's lack of belief. I don't think it's fear. I got another question. Why are we seeing so many Christians walking around depressed? I mean, seriously depressed. I mean, I know we all have hard times and we go through it and it can get crazy. I understand all of that. But I'm talking about just can't come out of it, depression. What's going on? I don't know about anybody else, but I believe that depression is a spirit of the enemy. So how is it that so many so-called blood-bought believers are victim to depression day in and day out? Another question, why is there so many Christians on the brink of giving up? Why is divorce as big in Christianity as it is in the earth realm, in the world? I don't think it's because of faith, fear, lack of belief. I'll tell you why. Because we're not dwelling in God's presence as the disciples did back then. Everything today is far too important for God. I remember when we first came here. I remember putting on a YouTube page, everything ought to be for God, every moment of our lives, and everything. we should be praying and in the Word all the time. If you're at work while you're working, you could be praying. And I'm not just saying, you know, like you don't talk, you know, to your friends or your wife or your husband and that like that. But I'm talking about, you know, like the disciples was, right? And somebody got on there and told me, said, ain't nobody got time for all that. We got lives. I won't say who that was. But that's the problem. We got lives. We too busy for Jesus. How many of you right now got a favorite TV show? Tell the truth, shame the devil. You got a favorite TV show. It's your jam. You watch it. It comes on. You're going to watch it. Now, what if God said, but I want you in prayer at that moment? And it's the season finale. Yeah, you've been waiting on this all week. And they ain't going to show it for another 2 weeks on the Roku thing, right? So you got to go a whole 2 weeks, and you try not to. How many of you going to give it an hour up? Now, look, you put your hands up now. Don't start no stuff. How many of us would? How many of you get a brand new car, and God says, before you go out and enjoy that new car, I just want you to spend some time with me since I made it happen for you. I just want you to spend some time with me. How many of you going to stay out that car and, huh? How many of you, when you get the brand new house, the house that you was always dreaming about, the one that you wanted, and you just get your first house, period, and all of a sudden, you got all your stuff in there, your boxes is everywhere, and you ready to put your house together so it can look nice and all of that type of stuff, and you can have family over, and God says, before you undo a box, worship me. Did you see the homeless people on the way over here? Worship me. Did you hear about the people that was losing their homes due to foreclosure because for whatever reason, but you got a brand new house? Worship me. How many of you would stop what you were doing? Boxes everywhere. So much to do, so little time to do it, and say, you know what? I'm going to worship you. And not a thank you, Jesus, but a real live worship him. This is the problem. This is the problem with 21st century westernized Christianity, because healing is still going on. It just ain't happening over here. You knew if it was happening over here because everybody would be at that church. Everybody would have packed up and left and went to that church. Because everybody wants to be around the healing. Everybody wants to be around the miraculous. But did you understand that that's supposed to be lying on the inside of you? It's too many things that's more important than God. I mean, we got so-called saved people that will miss a Christian event that is free to make it to a secular event that will cost them money and then have the nerve not to tithe, talking about, I ain't got it. Make it make sense to me. Make it make sense. Look at verses 8 through 10 and we're done. So he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Isn't that deep? So he leaping up, stood and walked. Hold on. So he had to know Peter, because when Peter went to grab him by the right hand, he leaped up with Peter. Oh, God. See, you got to know that you know that you know. Peter said, okay. The lame man said, okay, I'm going to go on and get up. Because you saying in the name, well, hold on, even if I don't know you, Peter, I do know the name. Even if I don't know you, I know that name that you said to get up in. And I've heard stories. I've heard that they tore off the roof and let a man down through the roof. And on the strength of that, Jesus didn't even touch him, but the man was healed. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I understand this name has some power. I understand that the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years walked around to every doctor trying to do everything that she could, trying to get healed, but couldn't get healed. But the Bible said she actually got worse. But all she done was came and touched the hem of your garment. And all of a sudden, she was healed. I know the name. Even if I don't know you, Peter, I know the name. So on the strength of the name, I'm going to get up on the strength that you called me. And he brings him up. Here's what blows my mind, Paige. The man starts leaping and praising God. He starts praising God. Wednesday, it's safe to say he lost his mind for God at that moment, right? How many has God ever brought out of something? Anybody? Yeah, God ever brought you out of something? And did you lose your mind? Did you lose your mind with the praise? Hold on. How many of you woke up this morning? Did you lose your mind when you woke up? How many of you woke up and said, hold on, it's birthday. It's my birthday. I made it another year. All the hell that was against me, all the hell that come up against me, and I'm still here. I am still here. Did you lose your mind? Did you jump out of the bed? Who was it? Matthew Henry said that every day that he woke up, he would jump out of the bed and just begin to dance on the strength that God had woke him up again. When is the last time that you was grateful enough to God that you lost your mind just on the strength that he woke you up? You ever been sick in your body and go to bed? Let me tell you something. The first thing that I say waking up, thank you, Jesus. I might not jump out the bed and dance, and I probably ought to. I know I ought to. But I do get up and say, thank you, Jesus, because I had a cousin who we was on the phone at 12:53 at night, and we was laughing, and we was joking and playing around, and then he went to bed, and then he never gained conscience again. You understand what I'm saying to you? So on the strength that ain't nothing wrong with me, and I go to bed, and I got, check this out, wasn't nothing wrong with him, rather, but I went to bed sick the other night, sick all through my body, but I woke up the next morning. Thank you, Jesus. I should have. Some of you know what you're going through. So some of you are dealing with some things in your mind that is so insane, that's so crazy, you should have stroked out months ago. But he's faithful. Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? You know what blew my mind? It says, so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Stand up. Peter's walking. He done healed him. Peter's got enough discipline to keep it moving. Not the man. Wherever you are, I'm with you. I'm with you because you know that name. You understand what I'm saying to you? When's the last time that you said, you know what, you woke me up this morning? I'm with you. I'm with you. How many understand that sleep is a cousin to death? You understand what I'm saying to you? And when he wakes you up, I'm with you. You woke me up. I am with you. You understand what I'm saying to you? How many of you have had a new lease on life, a time or two? You know when you thought you... I remember when I thought I had cancer. Y'all remember that? I was scared out of my mind. I'd like to tell you that I wasn't. I was. I started working on a new will. I was telling Miriam how much more I love her. A good doctor took me down there and came out and said, you ain't got no cancer. New lease on life. I lightweight lost my mind, and I said, hold on, what you say? He said, not only do you not have cancer, you ain't got to come back to get checked out for another 10 years. Man, I lost my mind in that place. You hear me? I was thanking that man. Do you hear me? We got to get to the point to when we understand that we have a new lease on life. We play it just like that. We don't take cheap grace. We don't make it cheap grace. God, you saved me. Every day we wake up, God, you woke me up. You woke me up. Out of all I heard, I watched the news and seen who all didn't wake up, you woke me up. We have to get to the point where we make up in our minds right then and there, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to spend time. You woke me up. So guess what? The first hour of this day, before I speak to my wife, my husband, before I speak, I'm on my face. Thank you. You didn't have to, but you did anyway. Some of us have been through some things to where we shouldn't even be here today. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But on the strength that we are here today, he ought to be getting all your praise. You ought to lose your mind on the strength that you're here. You understand what I'm saying to you? Some of you beg God and beg God and beg God and beg God, and he came through for you. But we don't worship him as much as we begged him. We don't honor him. We don't reverence him as much as we begged him. Oh God, if you do this, I promise. And God ain't silly. He didn't do it because you said you would. He did it on the strength that he loved you. So I want you to start embracing your new lease on life. Every day, spend time with the one who woke you up. Every day, spend time with the one who started you on your way. Every day, spend time with the one that put food on your table, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, food on the table. You understand what I'm saying to you? A job to go report into. Every day, you should be giving God the praise. You should be starting your day with him. Every day. Every day. Embrace your new life. Your lease on life.